Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon this morning, Who is Ready to Fight? Based on our epistle from Ephesians 6, especially this verse, Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Please follow the sermon outline in front of you as we consider our theme, Who's Ready to Fight? Now, if you've ever turned on your television at night and saw that there was a professional boxing match going on, often you have heard this famous announcer who has made his entire living by speaking these following words to introduce a fight. He says, "Let's get ready to rumble." Now, he's got a famous voice. He's got a famous face. If you've seen him, you've heard him, you know what I'm talking about. He's signaling the fight between two boxers is ready to begin. Let's get ready to rumble. In today's epistle reading from Ephesians 6, Paul tells us about another fight. This is a fight for your eternal soul. Your opponent in this fight is somebody you cannot defeat on your own. Your opponent is the devil and all his forces of evil. And if you don't think there's a such thing as a devil and evil in this world, then I would suggest, as the saying goes, you wake up, smell the coffee. This really is a fight to the death. And not just for the death of your earthly body, but for the death of your eternal soul. Listen to how Martin Luther describes this fight in the hymn we just sang. The old satanic foe has sworn to work us woe. With craft and dreadful might, he arms himself to fight. On earth, he has no equal. In the text from Ephesians 6, Paul compares our spiritual battle against the devil with a Roman soldier in combat. He tells us in verse 16 that the devil uses fiery darts or flaming arrows. He says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one." In ancient combat, fiery darts or flaming arrows were used in open warfare before the hand-to-hand combat began. Psalm 91:5 compares these fiery projectiles with spiritual warfare. Listen to what the text says. "You will not fear the terror that flies by night or the arrow that flies by day." Now, a scene from the famous movie Braveheart. And if you have any Scottish background or know someone who does, you should be proud of this movie. In the famous movie Braveheart, shows us the attack of English archers shooting thousands of flaming arrows at brave Scotsmen defending their country. The purpose of these flaming arrows was to soften up, to wound, to frighten, to discourage the Scots before the hand-to-hand combat began with short swords. Now, the devil, says St. Paul, also uses flaming darts. These are what Scripture calls his lies and his temptations. What are the purposes? The same purpose: to soften you up, to wound you, to frighten you, to discourage you, so that when the real battle for your soul begins, you'll be weakened and not as resistant to his attack. But here's the good news of the text. God provides his children with a sturdy shield. It is the shield of faith. God has made a shield just for you. Your name is written upon it. Listen to verse 16. Paul says, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." What's the purpose of a shield in combat? Melissa told us, a shield gives protection from attack. The purpose in your spiritual life? Much the same thing. And God, listen to this extra piece of good news today. God gives us shield bearers to help us hold up our shield when our arms are tired. What's the purpose of a shield bearer in battle? Let's go back to the Braveheart movie. As thousands of flaming arrows were descending upon the Scotsmen with their short swords, hundreds of their brethren ran in front of them in the line, holding up big, long, tall, strong oaken shields. Why? To take the impact of the flaming arrows. And when the flaming arrows arrived, the shields absorbed the attack. And what are the purpose of shield bearers in Christians' lives today? Much the same thing. Your shield bearer is that Christian brother or sister who stands up with you and stands up for you when the battle in your life is rough. That shield bearer is the believer who holds up your shield when your faith is weak. Permit me to introduce to you over the years some of the shield bearers in my life. Little 4'10", 85-pound Mrs. Miller, my grade 7 Sunday school teacher. My boyhood pastor, Pastor David Balasik, who introduced me to saving faith in Christ in confirmation. My seminary classmate, Carl Bleese. My dear wife, Beverly. And some of the other shield bearers are the faithful men, the elders in this congregation, who stand up to hold my hands up when they're weak and to hold up God's shield for me. My friend, who is your spiritual shield bearer? Not sure? Don't have one? Today I encourage you to ask God to lay upon your heart the name of one person you can turn to hold up your shield when the battle rages. This is one person, one reason God has placed us in the church, the body of Christ, that we may stand with each other when the battle rages. But here's the second question. For whom can you be a shield bearer? Ask your dear Lord to direct you to that person in your life who needs your help with their shield. My friends, God can use you as a warrior in his spiritual battle. Now, young folks over here today, please listen carefully. Young folks and us older folks as well. How important are our Christian friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ? How important is the fellowship of the Christian church? The mistake that too many believers make is to cut themselves off from the fellowship of the church, and when the attacks come, they stand alone. How important it is to have and to be that spiritual shield bearer. Also, to prepare us for battle, the scripture says in Ephesians 6, God gives to us a custom-fitted helmet. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take up the helmet of salvation. In the Old Testament prophet Isaiah chapter 59, God himself has described as he is going to war for the sake of his people. Listen to how he's described. God has put a helmet of salvation on his head. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you have been saved. It is a gift of God. God gives to us, don't you see? He gives to us the gift of his own helmet of salvation. Now, just as a helmet is the most important part of a soldier's armor, so salvation is the most important gift God has given to each of you. What a privilege I had on Wednesday to preach the gospel to the place was just jammed with people who came to Don's Memorial. But to preach the gospel to many people who hadn't heard it, who don't yet trust it, that God has given us his gift of salvation, that nothing can take that gift from Don Tweedy. Nothing can take that gift. It's a custom-fit helmet God has given to you and me. But the truth is, the devil's hard at work, and he's trying. Oh, he's trying, but he cannot take this salvation from you. 2 Peter 5:8 says this, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. Over the years, I've had a number of opportunities, especially when I was a seminary professor, to speak at huge gatherings of Christian youth. Hundreds and hundreds of kids gathered. Now, a song that the kids always sang with a special gusto was this song. Let me read the first line. The lions may eat my body, but they cannot swallow my soul. On one level, this is a reference to the early Christians who were thrown into the Roman Colosseum as sport as the lions tore them apart. The song is a statement of faith that the enemies of Jesus and his people may end my earthly life, but they cannot touch my soul and my salvation. But on another level, this rousing song tells us today are you listening, that no one, nothing, no heartaches, no setbacks, not even the devil himself can touch your salvation, which is a gift of God to you because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. You have a custom-fitted helmet. But that's not all. Look at your sermon outline. Your dear Lord also has given you a sword for the battle. It's a very sharp sword, so be careful. Ephesians 6 tells us, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword that Paul mentions here, in the Greek language it makes it clear, it's a short sword. It's a short sword for hand-to-hand combat. After the flaming arrows have been shot, after the shield bearers have granted you protection, then the warring armies come together for arm-to-arm, hand-to-hand combat with short swords. Spiritually speaking, after our enemy the devil has softened us up with the flaming arrows of his lies and temptations, then he comes to us face and face. And sometimes you don't have a shield bearer to stand next to you, and we have to face the enemy alone. But we are armed, St. Paul tells us. The short sword God provides is sharp and powerful. It is the holy word of God. In the battle hymn, Luther says this. We just sang it. Though hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us, we tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle will engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. The one word is the holy, powerful, mighty word of God, especially the proclamation of a victorious Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever the gospel of the life and death and resurrection of Christ is proclaimed and preached, the devil is sent packing. This word subdues him, says the scripture and the hymn. My friends, that's why your pastor, you remember him, again and again and again encourages you as a people of this congregation to really listen to the sermon, to attend the various Bible classes we have here throughout the week, to bring our children to Sunday school and all the rest, that God may put into your hand the short sword of the Spirit with which you can fight the devil. Now, in your handout today, would you just hold up to humor me that yellow insert? Just wave it, would you, for a minute? Just take a minute. That'll wake you up and that'll get some breeze going in here. Now, today, I don't want to see one of these yellow sheets left here. Take them home. They remind you of all the various Bible studies and all the various times and places starting next week when God himself will place into your hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I encourage you to put that on your refrigerator so as you reach for earthly food, you'll be reminded of the heavenly food God wants to give to you. But here's some more good news. And here's how we end our sermon. The victory in battle never depends on us. Listen to God's word is proclaimed in Luther's fight song. Speaking of our enemy, the devil, here's what Luther says. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to fight, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be? The Lord of hosts is he, Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. Wow. And St. Paul says the same thing in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. The victory never depends on us, but only on the strength of Jesus, God's strong champion who's come to fight, who for us and for our salvation has won the victory over sin and death and the devil. But here's one more piece of good news. Are you ready for even more? This sermon has got so much good news for us. St. Paul compares in this text a Roman soldier in the legions of Rome to you and me today. Now, everybody knew in Paul's time that a Roman soldier never had to go into battle with his own homemade, slipshod, second-hand, useless piece of equipment. The Empire of Rome gave this soldier the best equipment they could produce for him, a custom-fitted helmet, a sharp short sword, try saying that 10 times real fast, and a wonderful shield as well. The best was given to him by his commander. And all the commander asked of this soldier was this: when you see the enemy coming, stand firm. Trust your equipment and trust your commander. Stand firm. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 6:11 to us. Now you, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may also be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. God, our commander, gives to us, his baptized and redeemed children, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we can stand firm when the battle comes. In the last verse of Luther's hymn, his battle hymn, listen to what Luther says. God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it, for God himself fights by our side with the weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever. My dearly beloved, we are ready to fight in the name of Jesus our champion. Amen. One more time. Amen.